Section 20, The Message Triumphant.
When the loud cry sounds, subheading Truth Soon to Triumph. The end is near, stealing upon us stealthily, imperceptibly, like the noiseless approach of a thief in the night. May the Lord grant that we shall no longer sleep as do others, but that we shall watch and be sober. The truth is soon to triumph gloriously, and all who now choose to be laborers together with God will triumph with it. The time is short. The night soon cometh when no man can work. Testimonies, Volume 9, page 135, 1909. Subheading, Conversion as at Pentecost. The time is coming when there will be as many converted in a day as there were on the day of Pentecost, after the disciples had received the Holy Spirit. Review and Herald, June 29, 1905. Subheading, Thousands Yet to Step into Light. Many have let the gospel invitation go unheeded. They have been tested and tried, but mountainous obstacles have seemed to loom up before their faces, blocking their onward march. Through faith, perseverance, and courage, many will surmount these obstructions and walk out into the glorious light. Almost unconsciously, barriers have been erected in the straight and narrow way. Stones of stumbling have been placed in the path. These will be rolled away. The safeguards which false shepherds have thrown around their flocks will become as naught. Thousands will step out into the light and work to spread the light. Heavenly intelligences will combine with the human agencies. Thus encouraged, the church will need to rise and shine, throwing all her sanctified energies into the contest. Thus the design of God is accomplished. The lost pearls are recovered. Prophets have discerned this grand work far off and have caught the inspiration of the hour and traced the wonderful descriptions of things yet to be. Review and Herald, June 23, 1895. Subheading, Many Backsliders Will Return. When the storm of persecution really breaks upon us, the true sheep will hear the true shepherd's voice. Self-denying efforts will be put forth to save the lost. And many who have strayed from the fold will come back to follow the great shepherd. The people of God will draw together and present to the enemy a united front. The love of Christ, the love of our brethren, will testify to the world that we have been with Jesus and learned of him. Then will the message of the third angel swell to a loud cry, and the whole earth will be lightened with the glory of the Lord. Testimonies, Volume 6, page 401, 1900. Subheading, Influenced by the Press. God will soon do great things for us if we lie humble and believing at his feet. More than 1,000 will soon be converted in one day, most of whom will trace their first convictions to the reading of our publications. Review and Herald, November 10, 1885. Subheading, The Power of 1844 Repeated. The power which stirred the people so mightily in the 1844 movement will again be revealed. The third angel's message will go forth, not in whispered tones, but with a loud voice. Testimonies, Volume 5, page 252, 1885. Subheading, The Loud Cry. During the loud cry, the church, aided by the providential interpositions of her exalted Lord, will diffuse the knowledge of salvation so abundantly that light will be communicated to every city and town. The earth will be filled with the knowledge of salvation. So abundantly will the renewing Spirit of God have crowned with success the intensely active agencies that the light of present truth will be seen flashing everywhere. Review and Herald, October 13, 1904. Heading, The Reason for the Delay. Subheading, Deferred in Mercy. The long night of gloom is trying, but the morning is deferred in mercy, because if the Master should come, so many would be found unready. God's unwillingness to have his people perish has been the reason of so long delay. Testimonies, Volume 2, page 194, 1868. Subheading, The Work Might Have Been Done. Had the purpose of God been carried out by his people in giving to the world the message of mercy, Christ would, ere this, have come to the earth, and the saints would have received their welcome into the city of God. Testimonies, Volume 6, page 450, 1900. I know that if the people of God had preserved a living connection with him, if they had obeyed his word, they would today be in the heavenly Canaan. General Conference Bulletin, March 30, 1903. Subheading, Satan has stolen a march on us. If every watchman on the walls of Zion had given the trumpet a certain sound, the world might ere this have heard the message of warning. But the work is years behind. While men have slept, Satan has stolen a march upon us. Testimonies, Volume 9, page 29, 1909. Subheading, No Failure of God's Promises. The angels of God and their messages to men represent time as very short. Thus it has always been presented to me. It is true that time has continued longer than we expected in the early days of this message. Our Savior did not appear as soon as we hoped. But as the word of the Lord failed, never. It should be remembered that the promises and the threatenings of God are alike conditional. God had committed to his people a work to be accomplished on earth. The third angel's message was to be given. The minds of believers were to be directed to the heavenly sanctuary where Christ had entered to make atonement for his people. The Sabbath reform was to be carried forward. The breach in the law of God must be made up. The message must be proclaimed with a loud voice that all the inhabitants of earth might receive the warning. The people of God must purify their souls through obedience to the truth and be prepared to stand without fault before him at his coming. Had Adventists, after the great disappointment in 1844, held fast their faith and followed on unitedly in the opening providence of God, receiving the message of the third angel and in the power of the Holy Spirit proclaiming it to the world, they would have seen the salvation of God. The Lord would have wrought mightily with their efforts. The work would have been completed, and Christ would have come ere this to receive his people to their reward. But in the period of doubt and uncertainty that followed the disappointment, many of the Advent believers yielded their faith. Thus the work was hindered, and the world was left in darkness. Had the whole Adventist body united upon the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus, how widely different would have been our history. It was not the will of God that the coming of Christ should be thus delayed. God did not design that his people, Israel, should wander 40 years in the wilderness. He promised to lead them directly to the land of Canaan and establish them there a holy, healthy, happy people. But those to whom it was first preached went not in because of unbelief. Their hearts were filled with murmuring, rebellion, and hatred, and he could not fulfill his covenant with them. For 40 years did unbelief, murmuring, and rebellion shut out ancient Israel from the land of Canaan. The same sins have delayed the entrance of modern Israel into the heavenly Canaan. In neither case were the promises of God at fault. It is the unbelief, the worldliness, unconsecration, and strife among the Lord's professed people that have kept us in this world of sin and sorrow so many years. Manuscript 4, 1883. Subheading, Charge It Not to God. We may have to remain here in this world because of insubordination many more years, as did the children of Israel. But for Christ's sake, his people should not add sin to sin by charging God with the consequence of their own wrong course of action. Letter 184, 1901. Subheading, We May Hasten the Day. By giving the gospel to the world, it is in our power to hasten our Lord's return. The Desire of Ages, page 633, 1898. It is the privilege of every Christian not only to look for, but to hasten the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Were all who profess his name bearing fruit to his glory, how quickly the whole world would be sown with the seed of the gospel. Quickly the last harvest would be ripened, and Christ would come to gather the precious grain. Testimonies, Volume 8, pages 22, 23, 1904. Subheading, When the Message is Finished. It, the coming of the Lord, will not tarry past the time that the message is borne to all nations, tongues, and peoples. Shall we who claim to be students of prophecy forget that God's forbearance to the wicked is a part of the vast and merciful plan by which he is seeking to compass the salvation of souls? Review and Herald, June 18, 1901. Heading, Power for Finishing the Work. Subheading, Why Many Have Failed in Soul Winning. Many present the doctrines and theories of our faith, but their presentation is a salt without savor, for the Holy Spirit is not working through their faithless ministry. They have not opened the heart to receive the grace of Christ. They know not the operation of the Spirit. The air is a meal without leaven, for there is no working principle in all their labor, and they fail to win souls to Christ. They do not appropriate the righteousness of Christ. It is a robe unworn by them, a fullness unknown, a fountain untouched. Review and Herald, November 29, 1892. Subheading, Need of Intensity to Impress Unbelievers. We need greater earnestness in the cause of Christ. The solemn message of truth should be given with an intensity that would impress unbelievers that God is working with our efforts, that the Most High is our living source of strength. Signs of the Times, December 9, 1886. When we bring our hearts into unity with Christ and our lives into harmony with his work, the Spirit that fell on the disciples on the day of Pentecost will fall on us. Review and Herald, June 30, 1903. Subheading, With the Zeal of the Apostles. Zeal for the glory of God moved the disciples to bear witness to the truth with mighty power. Should not the zeal fire our hearts with a longing to tell the story of redeeming love, of Christ and him crucified? Should not the power of God be even more mightily revealed today than in the times of the apostles? Signs of the Times, February 17, 1914. Subheading, The Source of Their Power. After Christ's ascension, the disciples were gathered together in one place to make humble supplication to God. And after 10 days of heart-searching and self-examination, the way was prepared for the Holy Spirit to enter the cleansed, consecrated soul temples. Every heart was filled with the Spirit, as though God desired to show his people that it was his prerogative to bless them with the choicest of heaven's blessings. The sword of the Spirit flashed right and left. Newly edged with power, it pierced even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow. The idolatry that had been mingled with the worship of the people was overthrown. New territory was added to the kingdom of God. Places that had been barren and desolate sounded forth his praises. Review and Herald, June 10, 1902. Subheading, They Felt the Burden of Souls. Notice that it was after the disciples had come into perfect unity, when they were no longer striving for the highest place, that the Spirit was poured out. They were of one accord. All differences had been put away, and the testimony born of them after the Spirit had been given is the same. Mark the word. The multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. The spirit of him who died that sinners might live animated the entire congregation of believers. The disciples did not ask for a blessing for themselves. They were weighted with the burden of souls. The gospel was to be carried to the ends of the earth, and they claimed the endowment of power that Christ had promised. Then it was that the Holy Spirit was poured out, and thousands were converted in a day. Signs of the Times, February 17, 1914. Subheading, An Awakened Church. When we have entire, wholehearted consecration to the service of Christ, God will recognize the fact by an outpouring of his Spirit without measure. But this will not be while the largest portion of the church are not laborers together with God. Review and Herald, July 21, 1896. Subheading, Earth Enlightened. I saw jets of light shining from cities and villages, and from the high places and the low places of the earth. God's word was obeyed, and as a result, there were memorials for him in every city and village. His truth was proclaimed throughout the world. Testimonies, Volume 9, pages 28, 29, 1909. Hundreds and thousands were seen visiting families and opening before them the Word of God. Hearts were convicted by the power of the Holy Spirit, and a spirit of genuine conversion was manifest. On every side, doors were thrown open to the proclamation of the truth. The world seemed to be lightened with the heavenly influence. Testimonies, Volume 9, page 126, 1909. Subheading, Through Humble Instruments. As the time comes for it, the message of the third angel, to be given with greatest power, the Lord will work through humble instruments, leading the minds of those who consecrate themselves to His service. The laborers will be qualified rather by the unction of a spirit than by the training of literary institutions. Men of faith and prayer will be constrained to go forth with holy zeal, declaring the words which God gives them. The sins of Babylon will be laid open. The fearful results of enforcing the observances of the church by civil authority, the inroads of spiritualism, the stealthy but rapid progress of the papal power, all will be unmasked. By these solemn warnings, the people will be stirred. Thousands upon thousands will listen who have never heard words like these. The Great Controversy, page 606, 1888. Subheading, Multitudes will join the armies of the Lord. Many will be seen hurrying hither and thither, constrained by the Spirit of God to bring the light to others. The truth, the Word of God, is as a fire in their bones, filling them with a burning desire to enlighten those who sit in darkness. Many, even among the uneducated, now proclaim the words of the Lord. Children are impelled by the Spirit to go forth and declare the message from heaven. The Spirit is poured out upon all who will yield to its promptings, and casting off all man's machinery, his binding rules and cautious methods, they will declare the truth with the might of the Spirit's power. Multitudes will receive the faith and join the armies of the Lord. Review and Herald, July 23, 1895. Subheading, Thousands of Voices Sound Warning. Servants of God, with their faces lighted up and shining with holy consecration, will hasten from place to place to proclaim the message from heaven. By thousands of voices all over the earth, the warning will be given. Miracles will be wrought, the sick will be healed, and signs and wonders will follow the believers. Satan also works with lying wonders, even bringing down fire from heaven in the sight of men. Thus the inhabitants of the earth will be brought to take their stand. The message will be carried not so much by argument as by the deep conviction of the Spirit of God. The arguments have been presented. The seed has been sown, and now will spring up and bear fruit. The publications distributed by missionary workers have exerted their influence, yet many whose minds were impressed have been prevented from fully comprehending the truth or from yielding obedience. Now the rays of light penetrate everywhere. The truth is seen in its clearness, and the honest children of God sever the hands which have held them. Family connections, church relations are powerless to stay them now. Truth is more precious than all besides. Notwithstanding the agencies combined against the truth, a large number take their stand upon the Lord's side. The Great Controversy, page 612, 1888. The descent of the Holy Spirit upon the church is looked forward to as in the future, but it is the privilege of the church to have it now. Seek for it, pray for it, believe for it. We must have it, and heaven is waiting to bestow it. Review and Herald, March 19, 1895. Subheading, The Latter Rain. Let Christians ask in faith for the promised blessing, and it will come. The outpouring of the Spirit in the days of the apostles was the former rain, and glorious was the result. But the latter rain will be more abundant. Signs of the Times, February 17, 1914. Heading, Present Hour of Opportunity. Subheading, The Work for Today. The third angel's message is swelling into a loud cry. A and you must not feel as liberty to neglect the present duty and still entertain the idea that at some future time you will be the recipients of great blessings, when without any effort on your part a wonderful revival will take place. Today you are to have your vessel purified, that it may be ready for the heavenly dew, ready for the showers of the latter rain, for the latter rain will come, and the blessing of God will fill every soul that is purified from every defilement. It is our work today to yield our souls to Christ, that we may be fitted for the time of refreshing from the presence of the Lord, fitted for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Instead of living in expectation of some special season of excitement, we are wisely to improve present opportunities, doing that which must be done in order that souls may be saved. Instead of exhausting the powers of our mind in speculations in regard to the times and seasons which the Lord has placed in his own power and withheld from men, we are to yield ourselves to the control of the Holy Spirit, to do present duties, to give the bread of life, unadulterated with human opinions, to souls who are perishing for the truth. Review and Herald, March 22, 1892. Subheading, Unprecedented Opportunities. In these days of travel, the opportunities for coming in contact with men and women of all classes and of many nationalities are much greater than in the days of Israel. The thoroughfares of travel have multiplied 1,000-fold. God has wonderfully prepared the way. The agency of the printing press, with its manifold facilities, is at our command. Bibles and publications in many languages, setting forth the truth for this time, are at our hand, and can be swiftly carried to every part of the world. We are to give the last warning of God to men, and what should be our earnestness in studying the Bible and our zeal in spreading the light? Review and Herald, January 25, 1906. Subheading, God provides these opportunities. A crisis is right upon us. We must now, by the Holy Spirit's power, proclaim the great truths for these last days. It will not be long before everyone will have heard the warning and made his decision. Then shall the end come. God is the great master worker, and by his providence he prepares the way for his work to be accomplished. He provides opportunities, opens up lines of influence and channels of working. If his people are watching the indications of his providence and stand ready to cooperate with him, they will see a great work accomplished. Testimonies, Volume 6, page 24, 1900. Subheading, National Crisis Brings Religious Awakening. Today, men and nations are being tested by the plummet in the hand of him who makes no mistakes. Today, the signs of the times declare that we are standing on the threshold of great and solemn events. Everything in our world is in agitation. Before our eyes is fulfilling the Savior's prophecy of the events to precede his coming. Ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. Nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famine and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places. The present is a time of overwhelming interest to all living. Rulers and statesmen, men who occupy positions of trust and authority, thinking men and women of all classes have their attention fixed upon the events taking place about us. They are watching the relations that exist among the nations. They observe the intensity that is taking possession of every earthly element, and they recognize that something great and decisive is about to take place, that the world is on the verge of a stupendous crisis. Prophets and Kings, pages 536, 537, 1916. Subheading, Our Duty in the Moment of Respite. Angels are now restraining the winds of strife until the world shall be warned of its coming doom. But a storm is gathering, ready to burst upon the earth, and when God shall bid his angels loose the winds, there will be such a scene of strife as no pen can picture. A moment of respite has been graciously given us of God. Every power lent us of heaven is to be used in doing the work assigned us by the Lord for those who are perishing in ignorance. God's people should make mighty intercession to him for help now. and they must put their whole energies into the effort to proclaim the truth during the respite that has been granted. Every day we have been associating with men and women who are judgment-bound. Each day may have been the dividing line for some soul. Each day someone may have made the decision which will determine his future destiny. Review and Herald, November 23, 1905. Subheading, Significance of the Conflict. We do not understand as we should the great conflict going on between the invisible agencies, the controversy between loyal and disloyal angels. Over every man, good and evil angels strive. This is no make-believe conflict. It is no mimic battle in which we are engaged. We have to meet most powerful adversaries and rest with us to determine which shall win. We are to find our strength where the early disciples found theirs. Signs of the Times, February 17, 1914. Subheading, Heathenism Revived, Men of Sin Exposed. As we near the close of time, there will be greater and still greater external parade of heathen power. Heathen deities will manifest their signal power and will exhibit themselves before the cities of the world, and this delineation has already begun to be fulfilled. By a variety of images, the Lord Jesus represented to John the wicked character and seductive influence of those who have been distinguished for their persecution of God's people. All need wisdom carefully to search out the mystery of iniquity that figures so largely in the winding up of this earth's history. In the very time in which we live, the Lord has called his people and has given them a message to bear. He has called them to expose the wickedness of the man of sin who has made the Sunday law a distinctive power, who has thought to change times and laws and to oppress the people of God who stand firmly to honor him by keeping the only true Sabbath, the Sabbath of creation, as holy unto the Lord. Testimonies to Ministers, pages 117, 118. Subheading, God's Fearless Messengers. At the present time, when the end of all things earthly is rapidly approaching, Satan is putting forth desperate efforts to ensnare the world. He is devising many plans to occupy minds and to divert attention from the truths essential to salvation. Wickedness is reaching a height never before attained, and yet many ministers of the gospel are crying, peace and safety. But God's faithful messengers are to go steadily forward with their work. Clothed with the panoply of heaven, they are to advance fearlessly and victoriously, never ceasing their warfare until every soul within their reach shall have received the message of truth for this time. Acts of the Apostles, pages 219 to 20, 1911. Heading, Speedy Triumphant Climax. Subheading, The Gospel Once Shook the World. By the cooperation of the Divine Spirit, the apostles did a work that shook the world. To every nation was the gospel carried in a single generation. Glorious were the results that attended the ministry of the chosen apostles of Christ. Not in their own power did the apostles accomplish their mission, but in the power of the living God. Their work was not easy. The opening labors of the Christian church were attended by hardship and bitter grief. In their work, the disciples constantly encountered privation, calumny, and persecution, but they counted not their lives dear unto themselves and rejoiced that they were called to suffer for Christ. Irresolution, indecision, weakness of purpose found no place in their efforts. They were willing to spend and be spent. The consciousness of the responsibility resting on them purified and enriched their experience, and the grace of heaven was revealed in the conquest they achieved for Christ. With the might of omnipotence, God worked through them to make the gospel triumphant. Acts of the Apostles, pages 593, 595, 1911. Subheading, A Firmament of Chosen Ones. Among earth's inhabitants, scattered in every land, there are those who have not bowed the knee to Baal. Like the stars of heaven which appear only at night, these faithful ones will shine forth when darkness covers the earth and gross darkness the people. In heathen Africa, in the Catholic lands of Europe and of South America, in China, in India, in the islands of the sea, and in all the dark corners of the earth, God has in reserve a firmament of chosen ones that will yet shine forth amidst the darkness, revealing clearly to an apostate world the transforming power of obedience to his law. Even now they are appearing in every nation, among every tongue and people, and in the hour of deepest apostasy, when Satan's supreme effort is made to cause all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive under penalty of death the sign of allegiance to a false rest day, these faithful ones, blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, will shine as lights in the world. The darker the night, the more brilliantly they will shine. Prophets and Kings, pages 188, 189, 1916. Subheading, The Church Triumphant. The work is soon to close. The members of the church militant who have proved faithful will become the church triumphant. Letter 32, 1892. And still our general, who never makes a mistake, says to us, Advance, enter new territory, lift the standard in every land. Arise, shine, for thy light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon thee. The time has come when through God's messengers the scroll is being unrolled to the world. The truth contained in the first, second, and third angels' messages must go to every nation, kindred, tongue, and people. It must lighten the darkness of every continent and extend to the islands of the sea. There must be no delay in this work. Our watchword is to be onward, ever onward. Angels of heaven will go before us to prepare the way. Our burden for the regions beyond can never be laid down till the whole earth is lightened with the glory of the Lord. Gospel Workers, page 470, 1915.